Well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Lawrence Torr, and it's Friday, the 16th of November, 2018. And I've been very blessed recently, having gone to America and seen the believers in the United States, which was such a blessing. I just want to start off with one thing that God really done in my heart when I was there, and that was at the camp that we went to in Atlanta. And there were three girls, the Bloomer girls, and they were worshipping God and praising God, and we were singing songs with them. And as they were singing, I closed my eyes, and God gave me a vision of the Spirit of God swirling around. And in this vision, I seen people on the outside of this movement of God, of the Spirit of God moving around. It was like in a circle, and there were people on the outside, and there were people on the inside of this circle. And God was just showing me in this moment of time that the people on the outside were born again believers, but they wasn't moving in the momentum of God, and they was missing out on the great things that God had prepared for them, and that they can truly receive and live a happy life and moving with God. And on the inside were the believers that were moving with God. And as no sooner as I seen this vision, the worship stopped, and then the girls that were singing asked everyone to make a circle and to come together, and they wanted people on the inside and people on the outside. And it was just like God was confirming that what I had seen was from Him. And then the girls proceeded to ask people to turn to the person they were facing in the circle and to speak into their life and what God was putting in their hearts to say. And the people that were prophesying into the other people's lives really brought a lot of deliverance to people, and they were words from God right for that person to bring them deliverance, direction, comfort. And then they asked us to move to the left hand side to do the same thing to the other. But God is really at work, and He's open up the eyes of our understanding so that they can be enlightened, that we can know His direction and how to move. And there's many people that are born again of the Spirit of God, but they're living below what God is available. And it's available for all His children to freely and richly enjoy the things that God has for us. And God wants all His children to reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. See, it's our own ways that hinder the movement of God in our life. When we move in our own ability and ideas of how to do things, we become very limited to the point of discouragement, and then we get stuck in a rut. And when we do that, then we must realize that we're doing things in our own strength, our own ability, and God wants us to cease from our own works and ideas. He does not need us to help Him or for us to come up with ideas of how we're going to carry out His work. See, God is the one that sets the pace and the momentum, and when we move with the momentum of God, we will begin to see His abundant blessing and open doors. The work we have to do is what God wants us to do, and that is carry out our ministry of reconciliation. And God is the one that is going to lead us into His work. In Romans 8:14, we know it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." See, God doesn't want us to lead Him by our own works, by methods or by formats. See, grace is that God does the work, and God is the one that orders our steps. God provides everything that we need, and He will provide the laborers, the open doors for outreach. He will provide all the resources to carry out the work He has given us to do. And as we desire and expect from God, then we will manifest all that He has planned for our life. And God is the one that gives to us the direction and vision. He's the one that sets the direction. He's the one that gives us the vision. When we turn our attention and focus and hearts to God, we can begin to move in the momentum of God. When we take our eyes off God, we lose momentum and we get stuck in a rut, and we can easily lose the direction. And this is not God's heart for any of us. It is when we turn our hearts to God and our eyes to God and seek His ways, we can begin to move again. You know, the compassions of God are new every morning. He is waiting for us to turn to Him, to become humble and meek in heart, and to not try and figure things out in our own ability, our own wisdom, our own effort. God is the one that will show us what we need to do. He is the one that will lead us and guide us. He is the one that opens the doors for us. See, and when we are ready to do what God wants us to do, when we cease from our own efforts and our own ways and ideas, then God can then lay his plan out before us and lead us in the direction that he wants us to go. And we know with Jesus Christ, he always did the Father's will. He was humble, he was meek, he was lowly in heart, and he didn't come to do his own thing, but to fulfill the will of the Father. In John chapter 5, 19, it says this, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." John 12:49 says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." See, Jesus Christ spoke what the Father wanted him to speak. Whatever he wanted him to say, Jesus Christ spoke that. And God will also give us the things that we need to speak, that we need to say, that we need to minister into people's lives. And when we do that, then faith comes to people, and then people can respond with believing to God. They can become born again. They can receive healing. They can move with God. They can receive that word that God is putting in our hearts to speak, so that they can move in the direction of God in this day and time that we live right now for live living. In John 14:31 it says this, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I." What is God commanding you to do? What is God working in your hearts to do? And if you love the Father, if I love the Father, then we're going to do those things that he gives us and instructs us to do. And God has given us his Spirit, and we have a direct connection to God, and God has a direct connection to us. And when we come into line with him and we're humble, then we're going to hear his voice, and he's going to give us the work that he wants us to do. In Luke 2:49 it says, "And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Knew you not that I must be about my Father's business?" So we know that Jesus, as a young lad, he was in Jerusalem at the temple. His mum and dad went back, and Jesus stayed in the temple, and they went back to look for him. And they asked him what he was up to. And he said unto them, "How is it you sought me? Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business?" And God wants us to be about his business. Not what we think is his business, but that what he reveals to us to do. Jesus was come to do his Father's business. He did not have his own agenda. And sometimes we can have our own agenda because we're thinking we're doing what God wants us to do. But we can know for certain what we're doing is right. And when we are humble to God, we will hear his voice. We will know that what we're doing is right. We know we're moving in the right direction because we have that Spirit of God in us. We have that peace. We can know what he wants us to do. See, Jesus was obedient and faithful to carry out the work God sent him to do and to finish the work the Father gave him. And we know he finished the work. And he is now sat down at the right hand of God. And because Jesus Christ was obedient and faithful, now we're also sat at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we can walk like Jesus Christ walk in great authority, in great power, in great humbleness, in great meekness and tenderness. See, Jesus was led by the Spirit of God. God was working in him to reconcile people back to himself. We see this in 2 Corinthians 5:19, where it says to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ. See, God does the work, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or counting their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we've got this word of reconciliation, the words that God gives to us as we're led by the Spirit and as we speak by His Spirit, will reconcile men and women back to God. The Pharisees, they had the scriptures, they had the law, but they didn't reconcile people back to God. They were not in a relationship with the Father. They were not obedient unto the Father. But Jesus Christ come and set the standard to life and living. He showed what it took to move with God. He had a love for the Father. He was obedient unto the Father. He didn't have his own agenda. He came to set people free, not put them into bondage. And he gave them God. He gave them what God wanted them to receive. And when we do that, when we put aside ourselves and our ideas of how we think God wants us to do things, then we will bring people the deliverance that God wants them to have. So in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." See, Jesus Christ was humble and meek and submitted himself unto God, and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation, and Jesus moved with the momentum of God, setting for us an example to follow. See, God wants all his children to keep moving forward, even in the face of difficulties. It is when we're moving with God that these difficulties are overcome swiftly. The Father wants to keep you and I to keep moving forward. He wants us to continue with a high level of faith and expectation and confidence in him. So as we keep our eyes on God, we can do the things which he shows us to do. Not only will we keep moving forward, we will also see the fruit produced in our life. God wants all of us to increase with his increase. See, the God of this world, Satan, is a liar, and he's the father of it, and he wants to stop you in your flow with God. He will get you to question what God is putting in your heart to do. He will get you to look at your circumstances, so you say what you see rather than say what you want, and rather say what God says about things. Satan wants to slow down the momentum of God in your life. He wants to render you ineffective, so you have no fruit. In Hebrews chapter 4, let's go there and have a look. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." See, it's time to cease from our own religious efforts and ideas and negative speaking. Satan is a defeated enemy. He is beneath your feet. When our eyes are turned to God and we seek those things which are above, we will not be so easily deceived and defeated. God has not given you or me a spirit of fear, but he's given us the Spirit of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this Spirit of God is the power, and it's got love and a sound mind. It's the mind of Christ. And we're to put on that mind of Christ. We're to set our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. God doesn't want us to deviate from what he's laid out before us. The adversary will get you to look at your circumstances. He'll get you to look at the things in this world. We are either walking by our five senses or the Spirit. And see, both will produce fruit, but only one will produce the spiritual fruit and result God wants. In Galatians chapter 5, we'll read there. It says in verse 16 through to 18, we'll read, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do that ye would." Verse 18, "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." See, when we're walking by the Spirit, no one can put a law on you, because you know what you're doing is what God has given you to do. And we don't put ourselves under a law either. And no one can tell you what to do if God is showing you what you need to do. You do what God puts in your heart, and you keep your focus on him. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray." This is what Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this word willing is ready. So we can read it like this: watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is ready, but the flesh is weak. See, our carnal minds will always stop us in our tracks if we pay attention to it. But the Spirit of God is always ready. God is always at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when our minds and hearts are focused on His will, we can overcome our own desires. See, because that's what our affections are set on: God's will, His heart, His direction, His focus. David, he moved in the momentum of God. When he faced Goliath, it began with the words coming out of his mouth. David did not say what he saw, but he said what he wanted, and his words were inspired of God. We'll read this in 1 Samuel 17. It's a really great record, and it's always blessed me. And it says in 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 through to 48, it says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened, ran towards the army to meet the Philistine." So we know that David, he done what he declared he was going to do. And God was inspiring him and also giving him those things to say. And David was prepared. He used what he knew to use. God had already been training him when he was a young lad. And so he was in relationship with God, and he knew God was working in him. And if you think about it also, David had a lot of ridicule from his brothers and from the people mocking him because he was just a young lad. Not even Saul's armor fitted him. And so they were kind of making fun of him. But he stood his ground, and his confidence was in God. He kept his eyes on what God wanted him to do, and he had no fear. And he met the giant with full faith in his God. He knew that the battle belonged to God and not to him. David moved with the momentum of God. He spoke what he was going to do, and he did it. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. When we speak what God puts into our hearts with faith and conviction, it's going to come to pass. See, Jesus Christ also moved in the momentum of God. He moved with his Father. Multitudes were saved and healed and delivered from all manner of sickness and disease. Devils were cast out of many. All the prophecies concerning Jesus came to pass because Jesus was led by the Spirit of God, not by his own desire. See, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples received what? The gift of Holy Spirit, the power from on high, and they began to move in the momentum of God. And God set the pace, and God wants his people to continue moving once he sets the pace. See, it's as we keep our eyes on God and do those things which he puts in our hearts to do, we can continue to move in God's momentum. But as soon as our five senses cut in, we slow down. To move in the momentum of God, we need to be willing to lay aside our own ideas and to move at God's leading and prompting. We need to be willing to be led by God and say what God says, and to lay aside those things in our life which slow and weigh us down. God needs to be first in our lives, in our hearts, and in our livings. He doesn't need to be second. He can't be second. David took a lot of criticism, like I said, when he went to face Goliath. And at times you will face criticism. But as you decide to keep moving in God's direction, you will see God promote you so you can continue to promote him and encourage others. See, momentum is the Spirit of God in action within a believer as they believe and look to God. When we have God's momentum in our lives, we have great expectation, we have great desire, and we have a humble and willing heart to do what God is showing us, working with others and building each other up. We return to the fountains of living water when our hearts are humble. And when we do, God can move powerfully with all his supply flowing to us and through us. When we are moving in his momentum, what will take 10 years to achieve will take 1 year. What will take 1 year to achieve will take 1 month. When we move with God, things happen swiftly. In Psalms 147, verse 15, it says this: he sendeth forth his commandments upon the earth. See, God sends forth his commandments upon the earth. His word, the word that he's spoken, the commandment that he spoke from his mouth, runneth very swiftly. See, we are now reconciled to God, and we have a relationship with God. We are in the presence of God, and we can communicate with God. We've got direct access to God, and we can reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. We have been given authority so that we can live above this world's systems. And when we decide to do the things God's way and apply what God shows us to do, we can begin to manifest the abundant life God intended for all his children to manifest. God has done his part, and as we humbly respond to God's prompting and leading, we will manifest all his benefits to us. And there's many benefits of God, and God really wants you to prosper. He really wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to have many laborers. He wants to open up many doors for you. He wants to increase you and bless you. This is the heart of the Father, and all we have to do is walk in his grace. And grace is that God does the work, and we respond to what God shows us to do. So if you're stuck in a rut, or if you're just maintaining where you are right now, then you need to jump on to God's tsunami, which is moving with great momentum, at great speed. To do this, you need to cease from your own works. You need to turn your eyes to God and do what he's showing you to do. Say what you want rather than what you are seeing. Give your desires to God and he will bring it to pass. God is waiting on you. If you are getting the same old results, you need to change what you're doing and begin to be led by the Spirit of God. We are in God's business, so he will supply to you the work he wants you to do and all the means to accomplish it. See, a house that is divided against itself will not stand. And God has called us to the one body of Christ. When we're walking and being led by the Spirit of God, we will be keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We have the Spirit of God to discern between truth and error. God will show us clearly what is sound doctrine and what is unsound doctrine. Sound doctrine activates people to turn their hearts to God with a great desire to move and live unto God. Unsound doctrine brings people into bondage, brings people into works of the flesh, and keeps them in an unfruitful field where nothing really comes to full bloom. Sound doctrine is, with authority, the power of God. Let's have a look at a couple of records before I finish off here. In the scriptures, Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, it says this: and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. See, when we speak those words from God, it's going to be with authority, with clarity, with faith building, with vision, with direction, with hope. And this is what God wants you to speak forth. And when we do that, then we're going to see great things happen. And Mark 1, 27 and 28 says this: and they were all amazed in so much that they questioned amongst themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. When we say what God says, then we're going to see great healings, great deliverances, we're going to see great increase, outreach, and growth, because this is the heart of the Father. Verse 28 says, and immediately, Mark 1, 28, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions round about Galilee, because he was manifesting the power of God with his word, with the doctrine that God gave him, which produced fruit, where his light shined so much that his fame went all over the place. Luke 4:32 says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, For his word was with power, is with authority. John 17:16 says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. What Jesus spoke was what the Father gave him to speak. We can do the same works that Jesus Christ done and greater. And when we do this way, when we allow God to show us, when we get humble, then he can open it up to us. Verse 17 of John 7 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. You can know if someone is speaking those words from God. You can know if those words are words of deliverance and power, because you got the Spirit of God in you. So when someone's speaking to you, you can discern their words. You can know if it's from God or it's of themselves. And you can also know through the fruit that it's going to be producing. If it's not producing fruit and you're following someone that's teaching you, and it's not producing fruit, then are those words coming from themselves? Are they just rehearsing the scriptures like the Pharisees did? Or are they walking by the Spirit of God, allowing God to open up the understanding of the scriptures and allowing God to give them the words to speak in lifetime to people? Going back to finish this off, it just comes to my heart. No, because God's living and real. He's still working. He's still speaking to people, not just through the Spirit or through the scriptures. But he speaks to him in visions and dreams. He gave me a vision, and going, which I shared at the beginning of this teaching. But going back a few years ago, I was at a wedding in Spain of Johnny Sandoval and Preet Bains. And we were there, and there was one afternoon we was having a siesta. And I had a dream, and God gave me this dream. And in this dream, God spoke to me, and he says, anoint my fields with oil, feed my people. Now, I didn't understand what it meant, but since we'd just gone to the US, it was on the trip to the US, I was in Corpus Christi, staying at a wonderful couple's home, Tim Robb and Rosa Robb's home, and they had a lovely bedroom, and coming from the bedroom, there's a door that opens where we can go and sit outside, and it was a nice evening time, we just had fellowship. And it was just before I went to bed, I went outside, and it was dark, and we had the light of the moon and the stars, and the wind was blowing, but it was a nice warm breeze that was coming. And this saying come back to my mind, and God showed me what it was, to anoint his fields. This word anoint is like when we anoint with oil, and oil represents Holy Spirit. And then it just dawned on me that God was sending us to different fields where believers are. And the way that we're to anoint those fields is by the Spirit of God. We feed them what God gives us to say. So that saying that God gave for me personally was to anoint his field with oil to feed his people. So we feed people what God gives us to give. And we got the Spirit of God in us. The words that God give us will always line up with what it's saying in the scriptures. And they won't be at cross purposes. We don't have to fear. Fear keeps people in division and from moving. Anyway, this is what God was just putting in my heart to share. Just to, if we really want to get moving, then we need to get into the momentum of God. We need to become humble and meek and seek God's heart, what he'd have us do. And then do those things that he puts in our heart. You know, to get into the momentum, we need to begin to do what God shows us to do. Just like a bicycle. If you put it at the top of the hill, when it starts to go down that hill, it starts to gather momentum. The speed picks up. And God wants us in his momentum. So this is what was in my heart to share. And I pray it blesses you, inspires you, and encourages you to turn your heart to God and do what he shows you to do, and to speak forth those words which will bring deliverance, direction, vision, and light into the lives of people, and inspire faith in them to use and to proclaim the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, to shine as lights in this world, and to back down the defeated enemy, because our enemy is defeated, he's already under our feet. And so your word can be with authority, or it could be with the scribes with no power that keeps people in the wasted lands where there's no, in a sorted land where there's no growth. But we want to see growth. God wants to see growth, and he's the one that will lead us and give us those things that will produce his increase. So God bless you.